Decision Day at Stormont. MLAs are due to vote on the Welfare Reform Bill today. It seems the crunch vote will go ahead despite Peter Robinson's admission to hospital with a suspected heart attack. The DUP says the welfare reform legislation has got to be passed to avoid a massive budget black hole crisis. Sinn Féin and the SDLP have vowed to block it. So has this crisis finally arrived? Arlene Foster from the DUP. Spell out to us what this means, Finance Minister for Northern Ireland.
Well, good morning, Stephen. Today the Assembly has a very clear choice. They can continue to implement the Stormont House Agreement, of which, of course, welfare reform is a part. And that will enable us to put in place probably the most generous system of welfare reform throughout the United Kingdom. Not probably, actually, that is right. Which has transitional support, help for people who otherwise would have lost out. And the choice is to allow that to go through today or to allow the bill to fail, including all of those top-ups and support that we've put in place. And also, we will continue to have fines of £9.5 million per month on our budget, on our block grant. And indeed, a £600 million and growing pressure on the entire budget of Northern Ireland. So the argument about protecting vulnerable people really doesn't stack up, Stephen.
But you could, and we'll get into that.
If we are going to have a budget which has a hole of that magnitude, then everybody in Northern Ireland will suffer.
So, and we'll get into that in a second. But in terms of the realities of today, there is nothing to stop you or your party removing that bill, lifting it off the table, and therefore ban more time for more behind-the-scenes negotiations. Could do that, and you're choosing not to. You're forcing everyone's hand.
No, I can't do that. And the reason I can't do that, I mean, frankly, that is a ludicrous suggestion to take the debate away today.
Why?
Because there are statutory requirements upon me, as Minister of Finance, to put in place the budget by Friday of this week. And today is the Assembly's last sitting day before that deadline. So it's not a case of us just bringing about an arbitrary deadline. This is a very real deadline, a very real deadline that is recognised by the Alliance Party, by the Ulster Unionist Party, by some people in the SDLP, but not all, and therefore they have decided to sign the petition of concern. But it is not recognised by Sinn Féin, who just have simply decided to ignore the legalities of the situation.
So help me understand the legalities of the situation. If you lifted that bill off the table, if you removed it, what would happen on Friday?
I won't be able to bring forward a budget, and therefore we will breach our control totals, and the UK government will have to step in.
And there's no other way around that?
No. It's a very straightforward choice today, and to say otherwise is nonsense. I mean, I've listened to Sinn Féin MLAs and ministers talk about, oh, let's all get together with the Scots and the Welsh and do X, Y and Z. Well, that may be very nice in the future to do all of that, but we're in a very tight situation and we have to deal with the reality of government here in Northern Ireland. And, you know, you can't just wish the deadline away. You can't just say, oh, whatever about all of that. It's here and we have to deal with it.
This is a failure of politics, isn't it?
It's a failure of some politicians to recognise the limits that are put on us by government. And I think it speaks volumes, actually, about Sinn Féin.
You are government.
Yeah, well, I recognise the deadline, Stephen. I recognise that we have to deal with these issues, but others don't, and that's the difference.
So what is currently happening today behind the scenes? Are you negotiating with Sinn Féin? Are you trying to get them across the line?
Peter Robinson very clearly said last week that the DSD minister's paper was available, that if anyone had any alternatives which were financially compatible with the envelope of money that we had, that were legally doable and that were operationally compliant, then we would put those arrangements into place. And we've had not one amendment to what Mervyn Storey put forward. Not one. So that speaks volumes to me about Sinn Féin's bona fides and all of this, because they'll come on to your station, no doubt, in a few minutes and tell you that they all want to work together. And
well, they're not. They're ducking us this morning. We've been told they're not available this morning.
And that they want to negotiate and they want to do X, Y and Z, when in reality they have put forward nothing. Absolutely nothing. And neither has the SDLP, just for clarity as well.
Well, what they've put forward, Arlene, is a plan to stand against the Tories, united in Northern Ireland with your party and others, if you did it, and say no.
And what would that achieve for benefit claimants in Northern Ireland? I'll tell you what it will achieve for benefit claimants. It will achieve the full force of GB welfare reform without any of the top-ups that are available to them under this welfare provision that we are proposing today. So all this talk about the vulnerable, all this talk about protecting people has come to naught if this bill fails today, because what we will have in its place is the GB version of welfare reform.
You've backed each other into a corner. Get each other out of it.
I haven't backed anybody into a corner. The reality is the legislation is there for everybody to see. And sometimes it does frustrate me, Stephen, that journalists such as yourself don't actually look at the processes of government that we have to abide by. I am abiding by the process of government. Others are seeking to frustrate that. And I mean, why don't you get them on and ask them why they're seeking to frustrate the process of government?
How much money would be needed to fulfil Sinn Féin's promise to the electorate that no existing or future benefit claimant will lose out with those powers that remain at Stormont?
Well, of course, this is the nub of the matter, because to do that, we would need to run the old computer system alongside the new computer system, and that would cost in the region of around £700 million just to run the computer system alongside the new one that we need for welfare reform. And additionally, of course, there would be the extra money that they want to put in place as well to protect those people. But apart from all of that...
Well, have you costed that?
We have asked, could we do that within the envelope in the Stormont House Agreement? It can't be done within the financial limits of that. It can't legally be done either. And operationally, we are told by the very hard-pressed staff and the Social Security Agency that they wouldn't be able to do it either.
Yeah, but we're talking here 200 million over 6 years, 200 extra million... Over six years, potentially.
That was the envelope in the Stormont House Agreement you're talking about, but Sinn Féin are now saying that that's not enough, despite the fact that they agreed...
No, it was 560. It was 560 million over 6 years. That was lined up. It's now been decided that that's not enough. An extra 200 million might be needed over 6 years.
But that's not...
You could find that.
That's not correct, Stephen. As I've indicated to you, if you are to do what Sinn Féin are asking us to do, you would need to have the old computer system running alongside the new computer system. And that, frankly, is ludicrous. And I'm not prepared to say to the wider population of Northern Ireland that, by the way, we're taking 700 million out of our fixed budget, and it is a fixed budget. We get a fixed budget from Westminster every year. We're taking 700 million pounds out of that to help an old computer system to function so that we can assist people into the future that may or may not need benefits.
Can I ask you just another question, the last couple of minutes we've got here, about this deadline of this Friday because of the June monitoring round, right?
Not the June monitoring round, it's the budget bill.
But this Friday is so important because of the legislation that you're saying that you
yes.
have to bring a budget in.
Yes, that's correct. The budget bill has to come forward because without that we don't have the authorisation for departments to spend.
And the Treasury could not give you more leeway, Arlene, if there was a possibility of a deal.
We won't have the leeway that we need, because if you look, we need to get royal assent for this bill by the end of July. And in order to do that, we have to introduce it by this Friday. Those are the processes that are in place.
And the processes could not change?
Well, I only abide by the law, Stephen. You know, that's what I tend to do.
What happens to the likes of the voluntary redundancy severance package for the civil servants? Does that fall apart if this falls apart?
Well, of course, the voluntary exit scheme was part of the Stormont House Agreement, as indeed was the devolution of corporation tax, which all of the parties said that they wanted to see brought about to Northern Ireland to have a step change, to effect a step change for the economy in Northern Ireland. The Secretary of State has been very clear that these things are all wrapped up together. That causes me a great deal of concern. I listened to Kevin Kingston of the Chamber of Commerce this morning talking about the need to move ahead on corporation tax. But corporation tax is part of the Stormont House Agreement. So we'll all have to put our heads together after the rejection of the welfare bill today, which it seems like that's what's going to happen, because the SDLP and Sinn Féin have decided to sign a petition of concern.
But does that mean that automatically falls apart?
Well, we'll have to speak to the Secretary of State about that. What we want to see happening as a party is that if this bill falls today, that the Westminster government will step in and legislate for welfare reform so that we can continue with the rest of the issues on the table.
So the British government implements welfare reform?
There's no other option, because we have an option before us today where we could effect top-ups for the people of Northern Ireland, but those are going to be rejected by Sinn Féin and the SDLP.
Well, Theresa Village won't want to do that. She's not going to want to come in and legislate above the heads of political parties here.
Well, I'm sure she doesn't want to do it, and frankly, we don't want her to do it either, but she's not going to be left with any choice.
Just before you go this morning, how's the First Minister?
The First Minister has stabilised, and I am sure you don't want a running commentary, and neither would he or his family in relation to his well-being, but he has stabilised, and I have to say we're all greatly relieved in relation to that. Very concerning yesterday when we heard that he had been hospitalised, and as you know, the party is very much a very tight party, and we were all very concerned and very shocked to hear that he'd been taken into hospital.
We're reporting it was a suspected heart attack. Was it a heart attack?
Well, as I said, I'm not going to give a running commentary in relation to his condition. All I will say is that he has stabilised and he remains in hospital.
Final question, is he out of danger?
As I understand, Stephen, and well done for keeping trying, he has stabilised and he's still in hospital.
OK. Marlene, thank you very much indeed. So that's the Finance Minister, Arlene Foster. Stephen Farrell, listening to that from the Alliance Party. What a mess this is!
Absolutely. I will pass on the best wishes to Peter Robinson on a speedy recovery. Yes, I mean, it's very hard to get your head around that today the Assembly is potentially going to walk off a cliff through major political and financial crisis, something we haven't seen on this scale for many years. We're seeing a situation where two parties in particular, the SDLP and Sinn Féin, are now showing that they're not prepared to govern. That's a very strong statement to be making. But that power sharing with five parties in government, no one can have everything the way they like. We have to take tough decisions. We have to deal with the situation as we find it, not some idealised situation that we would like to have. And we're simply not seeing a situation where parties are prepared to act in a rational manner and deal with the challenges and stark choices that are facing them.
Yeah, it's really interesting this morning that here you have something affecting, you know, everyone potentially in Northern Ireland. The SDLP, Party of the People, they ain't coming on to talk to the public this morning. Sinn Féin, Party of the People, they ain't coming to talk to the public this morning either. So you start to wonder who they think they're representing. For goodness sake, come on and tell the public what is going on this morning. What the game plan is for welfare reform, what the game plan is for people's benefits, what do you expect people to do after this week if Arlene Foster's prognosis of what's going to happen to Northern Ireland actually follows through? You know, all of these concessions that were negotiated in terms of the difference that welfare reform will be in Northern Ireland compared to the rest of the UK, will that all go kaput? Is that all going to disappear in Northern Ireland, Stephen Farry? Will full welfare reform be implemented now if this bill fails?
That's very much the danger. It's important to bear in mind that the budget that the welfare payments come out from is not actually part of our block grant money. It's held by the Treasury through what's called the annual managed expenditure. So therefore, there is an issue where the Conservative government for the UK as a whole will have a major say as to what happens in welfare policy. We are a devolved region of the UK. We're not an independent country. We depend upon money coming to us from Westminster. And while the Conservatives may not have any representation in Northern Ireland, as Sinn Féin and the SDLP often point out, they still are the government of the UK as a whole. They are legitimate. They've taken decisions on welfare. I'm opposed to them. I didn't want them to happen. But that's the reality that's now facing us. And the choice is very simple. Do we proceed with the local variation, where we have negotiated some flexibilities and modifications, or do we go with the full version imposed over our heads with all of the consequences that flow from that?
Okay, Stephen, thank you. Roy Beggs from the Ulster Unionist Party.
Good morning, Stephen.
What's going to happen today?
Well, it does look like that SDLP and Sinn Féin, with their petition of concern, will ensure that the bill does not receive a final approval. I also suspect, actually, the majority of the Assembly members will have recognised the very difficult choice that exists here. It's either we go forward with our version of welfare reform with all the protections that we have built in, or we will face a huge gap in our budget and ultimately major crisis in Stormont. The future of devolution will be brought into question if we cannot approve our budget, and if a civil servant has to step in and allocate each department 95% of last year's budget. All of that, I think, will really adversely affect the most vulnerable in our society.
We're heading towards Assembly elections here, aren't we?
We could well be. And the question is, will anything be any different on the other side of the Assembly elections? You still will come back with a huge gap in the budget, potentially not giving more money to health, but potentially taking hundreds of millions of pounds out of health because of party's failure to recognise the responsibilities of government, which means that you have to make the best decision that is in front of you and not to continually wish for money to come off the money tree.
What would trigger an Assembly election, Roy?
Certainly resignation of First Minister or Deputy First Minister. That's probably the most obvious thing. I'm not sure what the situation will be if we cannot agree the budget, but ultimately a senior civil servant will set the budget at 95% of last year's budget allocations, which means an 8%, not increase for health, but a reduction of 8% for our health budget.
Well, that's undoable.
Well, that is what automatically will happen.
Well, it won't automatically happen because you could spread the reduction in money across, okay, loaded onto other departments even more,
well,
and not onto
well,
health.
I understand that in the failure of politicians to agree a budget, which it, when, if welfare reform doesn't go through, the various offers that had come from Westminster will be off the table. That results in a over £600 million gap
in our
budget.
Actually, just to correct myself, I'm hearing behind the scenes now, we're not sure about this, right? So, because this is uncharted territory, isn't it? But if a senior civil servant takes over, his hands or her hands are possibly tied to the extent that they wouldn't have discretion where to spread the money. So that 95%, less accruals, actually.
Yep.
So that reduction in money, in other words, without getting too complicated, I guess.
That's what I said,
Stephen. So that would be spread over the departments, so health would lose.
Yes. So that is part of this decision today. Or those who are saying that it shouldn't go through have to tell us where the £600 million will come from.
But health needs a significant increase in money.
I've been arguing that for this past number of years.
Just to keep its head above water. So if health gets a decrease in money this year, well, the minister couldn't preside over that.
And let's remember, this issue has been bounced about for 2 years. There were detailed negotiations over the Christmas period.
Which is why possibly members of the public are saying you're all useless because you cannot find agreement among each other. Every single one of you should take some of the blame with being very good at fighting each other, fighting your own corners and not finding agreement.
Stephen, but there was detailed negotiation. There was an agreement just before around the Christmas period.
Called the Stormont House Agreement.
You couldn't agree what you agreed. The majority of parties are continuing with that agreement. But, of course, the Sinn Féin Southern Command stepped in, and having agreed it right up until the last final moments of when this bill was previously coming before this Assembly, it was pulled from under us all.
Okay.
Sinn Féin have wished on the agreement, and they have a great responsibility, and they are actually showing that they are not fit for government, whether in Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland, if they cannot take difficult decisions, but decisions which are best for the people of Northern Ireland, best for those, best for the most vulnerable. And they have a great responsibility and huge questions to answer as to what will happen to the most vulnerable in Northern Ireland if this doesn't go through and the budget gap arises and this reduction in health occurs.
Right, thank you. Nigel Smith, head of the CBI this morning. Morning to you, Nigel.
Good morning.
What's your message to the politicians today?
Well, it's very much what we need to resolve this issue. Clearly, in March, when there was a major setback that the Stormont House Agreement was not going through, There was a high level of concern. We had been very encouraged come December, and indeed what we've been seeing in January and February, there was much better relationships, there was new momentum, there was a new determination. I think the business community clearly wants to see that goodwill restored. As we look forward, clearly there's a lot of concern, there's a lot of uncertainty. At the same time, the economy has been doing well. We've been creating a lot of jobs. We would want to see that momentum continued as we go forward. But, you know, we have to live within our means. We need a government that is stable and indeed can manage its own sort of finances. So it's absolutely critical that we come to some form of resolution around these issues.
And what damage is this doing to Northern Ireland, this uncertainty?
Well, I think it's too early to say on that. I think clearly the uncertainty could well be around budget, where there's indecision going on. At the moment, there is some substantive momentum in the economy. There's about 18,000 jobs created over the last year. We've seen record results from Invest Northern Ireland that were released last week on the back of that. And we want that momentum continued. Clearly, going forward, we need to encourage companies to continue to invest, whether those are local companies, whether they're international companies. So it's very much what happens in terms of the executive, where they can demonstrate that they're up for the job here of actually managing the finances. And they haven't made it particularly easy for themselves. There's various decisions they've made here regarding rates, water charges, student fees, etc., which has piled even sort of more pressure on them at the same time.
You're questioning whether the politicians are up to the job?
Well, we're going to find that out. No, it's up to them. They are elected. The electorate will expect them to manage within the budget that they've been set. They have a certain revenue-raising powers and ability to do that, so they need to come to a decision between them. So I think all we can do is encourage them going forward.
How would the business community...
continue that momentum.
How, Nigel, would the CBI and the business community react if corporation tax is a victim of this, that you don't get it?
Well, I think it would be a major concern in that. We see that as a significant opportunity. We're starting to see some restructuring and rebalancing in the economy. In the long term, this is about creating more and better quality opportunities. You know, if we want to take more people out of the welfare system, that is about creating more opportunities. You know, if we look at the last 12 months, there's 18,000 jobs created. There's been about 10,000 people that have come off the claimant count. So there's jobs for people, students, school leavers, the jobs for those people who have been on the benefit system and coming out. Now, this is all about creating higher value-added opportunities over the longer term. This is about increasing living standards. It's about becoming less dependent on the Westminster purse and be less dependent on welfare here.
Okay.
And certainly, corporation tax is a major incentive for bringing in high-quality investment. We know there's projects, international projects. Looking at Northern Ireland, I know of local people waiting for a decision, and we do need that date and the rate, which will encourage them to invest more in Northern Ireland.
Nigel, thank you.